Yeah, I'm gonna try not to spit all over his phone. I might try. Job chapter 25. Job chapter 25. I told Amber this morning on the way to church, I was like, honey, you ought to pick on my dad like he picks on you, but she hasn't, so oh well. I told her just to let you have it, but she's just sweet to you, I guess. I don't know what the problem is. But Job chapter 25, verse 1. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm. Here you'll find that in the book of Job, chapter 25, a question is asked, two questions in verse 4. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? And he asks that question, and I want to try to answer it. First thing he does is he tells us to observe the stars. The stars, they shine a light, and when you look at the stars, there's something that they're mighty. I've heard people go through the size of different stars and how they're, the earth is like a golf ball, you know, in the entire Empire State Building compared to some stars that are out there. They're so large. They're so magnificent. And we can even look up and we see the stars. You can look up in the stars at night. You go up in New York, there's not a lot of light shining from major cities or anything. You can see the stars. You can see the stars that are falling and those sort of things. You can watch meteor showers. I've seen meteor showers take place. It's a magnificent thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it's something that's just, you know, out there that is just above and beyond our thinking, our understanding many times. He told us to observe the stars, and he said, but the stars, they're impure in God's eyes. They're impure in his sight. Whether it be because of the devil or whatever else, because he's the prince and the power of the air. But he said that those stars, when he looks upon the stars, they're impure in his sight. And he said, how much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm. And you go over the book of, it's in the New Testament. I was thinking in the book of Luke. But he said that hell is a place. He said if your hand's keeping you from getting saved, cut it off, or it's more profitable for thee to go into life having one hand than having both to go to hell where the fire is never quenched, where the worm dieth not. He said if your foot's keeping you from getting saved, cut it off, for it's better for thee to go into life having one leg than having both to go to hell where the fire's never quenched, where the worm dieth not. Then he said, if your eye is keeping thee from getting saved, pluck it out, for it's better for thee to go into heaven with one eye than having both to go to hell where the fire's never quenched, where the worm dieth not. Who's the worm? The worm is man. The worm is man. And he said, we're nothing but a bunch of worms. And when you look at a worm, first of all, a worm is something that's really of very little value. You look at a worm, it's just something that's nothing in our sight. And you look at the size of a worm. A worm is nothing large. It's nothing. There's nothing that you see a worm that is desirable. You see what a worm's made up of. It's made up of dirt. And that's just what it's made out of. That's what it eats. That's what it crawls around in. And Timmy Bay preached a message on the worm. He talked about how worms, they operate off the vibrations. And he talked about how humans, the world, in the world, they operate off vibrations. They operate off the way they feel, You can hear it while they're going down the road. They listen to the rap music and the rock music, and they operate off those pulses, off those vibrations.
Right.
And why? Because we're worms. That's what we are. Just a bunch of worms. And there's nothing wonderful of it, and there's no value really to it. But the wonder of all of it is this, that God would be willing to bypass the stars. Instead of making them pure, instead of making them just, instead of making them clean, that God would bypass things that we look at and say, that's a wonderful thing. God would bypass that. And He would go to a worm and He would justify that. That God would go to a worm. God would go to the dust of the earth. God would go to something that's of very little value and justify that. We stop to recognize also how man has tried to attempt to justify himself. How man has tried to work his way to heaven. How man has tried to do it his own way. Yet came up empty. You can go through the Bible, go start out in the book of Genesis. You find Cain and Abel, they brought their sacrifices before God, but Cain wanted to bring it his own way. What happened? He ended up murdering his brother out of hatred and jealousy. He ended up being a vagabond out in the desert somewhere. You go find the people of Babel building the great tower of Babel. They were going to do it their own way. They're going to get up there with God. They found themselves to be destroyed. You go down the list of folks that have tried to do it their own way. Now, let me tell you, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration through the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The Bible says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what He said. And you look at the Pharisees and how they lived. They lived a whole lot more righteous than the average church person today lives. But Jesus said you have to have more than that. You have to have the righteousness of God imputed unto you. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we see that man has tried to attempt to justify himself by his works. He's tried to attempt to justify himself by keeping the deeds of the law. The Bible says, by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified, shall no flesh be justified by the deeds of the law. And people have tried to keep the deeds of the law. They say, well, I'll do this good, I'm going to do that. If I can just do better than I do bad. If I can just do a bunch of good deeds. If I can just keep the laws of God, then I can go to heaven. You find that God gave them that opportunity. He said, if a man shall do these things, he shall live by them. What? The law of God. If a man can live by the law of God, God gave them the opportunity. You go through the Old Testament, you find where God gave them the opportunity to live by the law and to live a clean life. But still, they had to go down and take a lamb. They had to take the goats. They had to take those sacrifices and lay them on an altar. Why? Because man could not keep the law. Why? Because man failed at keeping the law. Why? Because man could not keep himself from sin. Why? That's why I had to do it. You find men in the Old Testament that sinned great sin. Why? They could not keep the law. Look at David and the sin that he committed. You have to have more than your own righteousness, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
You find also that man attempts to be religious. He attempts to be religious. And man tries to get his guilt off of him by doing different methods, by going to church or whatever else. Today they pray a little prayer, they slap them on the back and tell them that they got saved, and then they go out and get wickeder than they ever were before. And people will try to be religious in all sorts of ways. And something I was telling my dad just the other day, you look at the average independent Baptist today, what is the difference between them and a Catholic and a Protestant and a Lutheran and a Methodist and an Episcopalian when it comes to salvation?
Right.
What's the difference? There's no difference in what a Catholic believes and the average independent Baptist today. They run down, they pray a little prayer, and they tell them that they got saved. That's what all the other religions do. Why are the independent Baptists any different? They're not. Run through a little prayer and try to get that guilt off of them or whatever else. trying to make them feel better about their sin and everything else. Ladies and gentlemen, they didn't get saved.
Right.
They didn't get saved. We have these big revival meetings going on and everything else. They're calling them revival meetings or whatever else. I don't know what's happening in those towns now. How come you're not hearing anything about those towns now? How come there were a great revival a few weeks ago, a few months ago, but their towns are wickeder today than they've ever been? They're right down the road from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, where sodomites are all over the streets and drunks are all over the streets, and where you pass by churches and even the churches in those towns are against the very things that God stands for.
Right.
Read it on their church signs.
Right.
That's revival, folks. That's what they call revival.
That's
right. They had a little show of the flesh. They felt good about themselves. They cried a little bit. I tell you why the average religious person cries is because their lives are miserable as can be. And they go to church for a little emotional release. And they go to church and they cry and they weep and everything else. They call it God, but in reality, all it is an emotional release from a life that's hell. That's what it is. That's all it is.
Right.
They get them a little emotional release and they scream and they cry and they shout and everything else. And tears run down their face and it makes them feel better because their lives are wrecked and ruined because of sin. They got them a little emotional release. Man's tried religion. People try to be Muslims. These Muslims think that they're going to get all these virgins and everything else, but whenever they die, you know where they're going? They're going to hell. Whenever they fly a plane into a building, you know where they die? What happens to them when they die? They go to hell. Why? Because they're trying to work their way there.
Right.
Trying to work their way there. You go through all the rest of them, the Buddhists, the Hindus, and all the rest of them. The Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved, but it's Jesus Christ. That's how you're going to get that. And the Bible says that he that cometh any other ways, he's a thief and a robber. There's only one way to Jesus Christ, and it's through to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven, it's Jesus Christ. It's not going to be by your works of righteousness. It's not going to be because you come to church. It's not because you think that you're spiritual. It's not going to be because you think that you're a Bible scholar. It's not going to be because of any of those reasons. The only way you're going to get to heaven, it's going to be through the blood of Jesus Christ. Right. Him alone.
Right.
It's Him. What happened to the works of man? What? Well, when we do all these things, what's really in the heart of man? You look at people like Apostle Paul. He was a man who tried to be religious. He tried to keep the law. He tried to be clean and everything else. But you read in Romans chapter 7 that there was that lust that was still in his heart that he couldn't get rid of.
Sure.
It was down in there, and it was something he had a problem with. It's something that he couldn't shake off. It's something he looked good on the outside and everybody thought that he was spiritual and thought that he was good, thought that he was godly. But on the inside he knew that he was evil.
Right?
Because he was evil. Something that he was. What happened to the works of man? Go to Mark chapter 7. What is man? He asked the question, how can man be justified with God? I'm trying to help you understand who man is. Help you understand who you are.
Right.
This is the things that are in our heart. This is the things that make up who we are. You say, not me, you're a liar. The Bible says in Mark 7:21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts.
Sir.
How can man be justified who has evil thoughts? That's what you have. You have evil thoughts. And I can guarantee you that everybody in here from time to time has evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Then he went on to say, adulteries. That's what's in the heart of man. It's in the heart of men and women to be adulterers. That's why you find them all over the country today, all over the world being adulterers. That's what they are. Adulteries. And I agree with Brother Allen 100% what he said. He said the people of today that are committing fornication when they're 30 and 40 are going to be the same people that are committing adultery.
That's right, but
they're going to be the same people that are committing adultery. They set that pattern in their heart. They set that pattern in their mind. And whenever they grow up and they have a relationship with somebody, the same patterns of having a relationship that they know is not right, those sort of things, they get a release from it. They get a thrill from it, having a sexual relationship with somebody they're not supposed to, and they get by with it. When they grow up, they set that pattern in their mind, and they're going to have to deal with that the rest of their life. That's why they do it. That's why they're adulterers when they grow up. Fornications. Bible said, he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. It's the only sin that's a sin against your body. Every sin that man committeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. That's what the Bible says. I know society, I know Hollywood and the music and everybody else has tried to promote it. And I know today we watch television and it's something that don't even bother us when we sit and watch people that aren't even married make out in front of our television. That's nothing that even bothers us anymore. But God said that it's wicked. God said that it's ungodly. God said that it's something vile. And it's something we let our children sit around and watch all these years and they grow up and that's what they want to be. It's what they want to be when they grow up. Fornicators. And he said fornication. This is what happened to man's righteousness. They became fornicators. Murderers. He that hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The Bible said, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither it goeth. Why? Because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. They're blind, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because they hate their brother. They're murderers. He that hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Thefts. Stealing. And I'll just be honest with you. Whenever I was growing up, I watched my dad get all of his tools stole out of one of his job trailers one day. And something that bothered me, really the police didn't really do a lot to help. But I had to sit there and watch my dad who saved up his money. And he would go out and buy those tools and everything else. And some thief came by and stole them. Shame on that person. That's what's in the heart of men. Man thinks it's okay to steal. Man thinks it's okay to do those sort of things. Why? Because it benefits themselves. Himself. Thefts. Covetousness. Covetousness. And I could go on and on about covetousness. That's the day we live in. We live in a covetous day. And these boys, they want to be like these faggots in Hollywood. That's what they are. Most of them are, that's what they are. They're sodomites. There was a guy that interviewed an actor in Hollywood, and he asked this actor, he said, have you ever done a homosexual act? He said, I'm an actor, aren't I? What'd he say? And that's what's made up of Hollywood. We sit and watch them on our television, we laugh at them, we think they're cute and everything else. But God said it's an abomination. The Bible says that they're worthy of death. That's what the Bible says. It's not what I say, it's what the Bible says. Find in the book of Romans chapter 1, the Bible says that he that committeth such things is worthy of death, and not them that only that do them, but they that have pleasure in them that do them are worthy of death. That's what the Bible says. Not me. But murders, thefts, covetousness. These girls, they want to be like these lesbians. Like Miley Cyrus, that's who they want to be like. They want to be like these lesbians, like Miley Cyrus. She's been a lesbian since she was 13 years old. We've let our children grow up and watch these bunch of lesbians and sodomites and reprobates and everything else. And that's who they want to be like when they grow up. That's what happened with man. He said wickedness. Just wickedness. Deceit. People that are a bunch of liars.
Yeah.
Now I'll tell you what the Bible says. I know we think it's okay to lie. The Bible says this, that
All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. All liars.
Right.
Why? Because the devil, he's a liar. And he's the father of the liars. He's a murderer and he's the father of the murderers.
Yep.
You're of your father, the devil. Liars. And deceit. He said lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy. People blaspheme the things of God. People blaspheme. Don't make everything that's right and turn it evil. That's one of the things I'm dealing with. That man will take that which is right and pervert it. Will take that which is right and pervert it. He said pride. People are filled with pride. I've seen people while I'm preaching things. They'll look at me and kind of giggle and look at me like I'm an idiot.
Right.
That's real good. And what I do is one of these days when my daughter, she's old enough to really understand, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to tell her, I'm going to say, watch this person. Watch what happens to them when they're in their 20s and 30s. Watch what happens to them when they get married and divorced and their lives are wrecked and ruined because they're ungodly.
Yep.
I'm going to tell her that stuff. People say, well, I want to hide my children so they don't have to see that kind of stuff. There's some things I want them to see. I want them to see that the wages of sin is death. I want them to see that if you sow to the flesh, ye shall have the flesh reap corruption. I've seen it in my life. My dad showed me and pointed it out to me when I was a kid. And I saw that if you sow to the flesh, ye shall of the flesh reap corruption. And I knew that dad wasn't just some idiot running his mouth. I knew he wasn't just some moron. He said it. I watched it. I saw it. And it came to pass. Saw it. There's people that when I was growing up, he said, watch them. They don't get whippings. Watch when they grow up how they behave. And I have cousins. We have cousins in our family that they've grown up. They have kids outside of marriage. And their lives are wrecked and ruined because of sin. Why? Because they wasn't chastised. They wasn't taught to behave. Those sort of things. But pride.
Sir.
Pride. That's one of the things you were dealing with earlier. The book of James. There's people that are too proud to admit they need help. People that are too proud to admit that they're wrong. People that are too proud to ever say, I did wrong. I'll be honest with you. Whenever there's a conflict in my life, whenever I ever have a conflict where I have to deal with somebody, and I may have to be pretty harsh with people and tell them the truth and different things like that, I go to my bed and I beg God to search my heart to see if I'm wrong.
Amen.
But I know people that are wrong, that they never come to the point where they never ask themselves for and ask God to show them how they're wrong.
Right.
They never do that. They never do that. Let me just say this. I forgot to add this when I was dealing with fornication and everything else in some of this. Me and Amber, we were talking about it last night. We know a lot of girls that grew up in church and boys that grew up in church, they get out and they go nuts. That's what they do. They just go crazy. I was telling Amber, when I went to a public school, I went to Davie County High School. There was boys and girls that were a whole lot more decent human beings than some of these Christian boys and girls are. A whole lot better. You remember Kayla Kornhanser?
Yeah.
You know, she never held hands with a boy until after she graduated. I don't know where she's at today, but I knew she never even held hands with a boy. Her dad was CIA or FBI or something like that. She had some discipline in her life. She never even held hands with a boy. I never heard her cuss. I never heard her talk filthy. I never heard her say anything out of what every time I saw her, she was kind. She was polite to people. She knew how to behave. She knew how to do all those sort of things. Could you believe it? I talked to her about Jesus Christ, found out she was an atheist.
Dead.
Oh, she's an atheist. But she knows how to dress. She knows how to act better. She knows how to carry herself better than a whole lot of these Christian girls do.
Yeah.
She don't even believe there's a God in heaven. She wasn't a fornicator in high school. She wasn't. She never did that sort of stuff.
Fine.
What's our excuse? Well, I don't know what your excuse is. I guess mom and dad's so stupid that it makes you wicked. I guess that's what it is. They're atheists and they know how to behave better. What does that make you? Definitely don't make you a Christian. Definitely don't make you saved. Definitely don't make you a child of God because you're wicked and ungodly in your heart. Just throwing that out there. But, you know, it's amazing to me. Those boys and girls, there's boys and girls out there that don't even believe that there's a God that wouldn't behave like some of these Christian church, God-loving, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Baptist. I would never be wicked and ungodly. Children know how to do.
Could be old things.
Yeah. I know some boys that, I grew up with some boys that they never went to church. They're some of the best behaved young men that you'd ever meet in your life. But these kids that go to church, they're godly and Christians. They're not even decent human beings. That's what I'm trying to say. There's people out there that are atheists that know how to be a decent human being. There's people sitting inside of our churches. They're not even decent human beings. They don't even know how to behave. They don't even know how to behave. Pride, foolishness. Just being foolishness. Filled with foolishness. And those are the things that are in our hearts. Those are the evils in people's hearts. And when God looks down from heaven, He looks upon men. He goes to and fro in the earth and searches the hearts of men. Why? Because the man has a spirit. You mentioned, I saw that just a couple weeks ago. God can see the intentions of the heart, those things in the heart of man, because He has a spirit. It shows it to him. That's the lie. And the evils of the heart of man. Then we see the works of the flesh. This is what became of man. This is what became of man. The works of the flesh. They're manifested. Which are these? Go to the book of Galatians. These are the works of the flesh. Chapter 5. This is the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. Adultery. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And I don't know why this thought just came to my mind, talking about drunkenness. I was inside of there's a store right beside of our store in Lenore, and they have a hot dog thing, like a hot dog bar. And there was a lady, she brought her two kids in there. And there's a kid, you know, there wasn't many people in there, but there was a little kid, this woman brought her two kids, and one of the kids, he was walking around saying, "I drink beer. I drink beer." And he was shouting it as loud as he can. And his mom, she sit there in the mental, "I give them beer from time to time because I want them to respect it. Maybe, hopefully they won't grow up and be drunks." I thought to myself, I was like, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down here to the crack part of Lenore. I'm going to find some crack cocaine. I'm going to light it up. I'm going to put it in my daughter's mouth. And hopefully one day she'll respect crack cocaine instead of being addicted to it. I tell you what, I'm going to go get some cocaine. I'm going to make sure my daughter's around cocaine. You know why? Because one day when she grows up, she might respect it. Stupid. One of the stupidest philosophies I've ever heard in my life. I tell you what. I'm going to kill people. And I want to let my daughter see me kill people. So that whenever she grows up, maybe one day when she's seen me kill people, she'll respect it and she won't kill people. Maybe that'll be what happens. Maybe that'll make it okay. Whatever. But I know some of these rich people. Yeah. Number one, that's against the law. Number one, she ought to go to jail for that. I thought about calling. That's pretty stupid. Pretty stupid. I know some of these rich kids, you go to Forsyth Country Day and places like that, and you meet some of those kids. Their parents have money. They have liquor sitting around. Well, their parents sit around and drink all those years. I tell you what those boys do whenever they become teenagers. They'll go in there and they'll steal one of those Jack Daniel liquor bottles. And they'll get all their buddies together and get drunk. And I know some today that are still drunks. We know one. My mom, she knows one personally like that. Drunk today. But he was around alcohol. I guess that made it okay. I guess that was supposed to help him. But whatever else. stupidity. That's one of those situations I wish I could look at my daughter and say, watch what happens to them. Watch what happens with those kids. But I'm sorry, I just, pretty stupid. But those are the works of the flesh. Those are the works of the flesh.
Right.
You see, when man tries to become religious, when man tries to be just, those are the things that are in his heart. Those are the things that man does. Those are the things that are contained in a man's heart. Even when he tries to justify himself. Even when he tries to make himself righteous. Even when he tries to work his way to heaven. Even when he tries to do those things. Those are the things that are within the heart of man. And man just cannot be just. Man just cannot be righteous. Man just cannot make himself pure enough. Man can just not make himself clean enough to be just before God. He can't do it. When he does, he'll clean up his house. Try to make it all clean, all up, and clean it up. Try to clean up on the outside. Try to clean up on the inside. But when he does, he'll get those seven devils wickeder than he was before. That's what happens on the Ivy altar today.
That's right.
Come down and pray the little prayer. Do the little ritual. Make the little profession. And they go back. And I've seen it 100 times probably. Where they'll go back. Go out back in the world again. And be wickeder than they ever were before.
Right.
Why? Because they wasn't made just with God.
Right.
They wasn't made just with God. They didn't get a hold of God. They didn't get Jesus Christ. They didn't get the one that lives on the inside and changes all that. Then we recognize this. He said in the book of Job, chapter 25, how can man be just with God? How can you be just with God? That's what man is. That's what man is. We just went through the things that man is, what's in the heart of man, the works of the flesh, the things that we like to do in our body, the lusts of the flesh and those sort of things. That's what man is. How can man be just? I tell you what, man deserves to go to hell. When you look at it, man is dead in his trespasses and sins. Man is a spiritual corpse. He belongs in hell. Ladies and gentlemen, we belong. We deserve to be separated from God. We deserve to be in hell because the actions that we do, we've offended a holy God. It isn't that you offended your neighbor. It isn't that you offended your mom. It isn't that you offended your dad or your brother or your sister or cousin. You've offended a holy God. God's angry with the wicked every day. How can man be just with God? You deserve to go to hell. Well, man can be just with God because the cross of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Man can be just with God because the cross of Jesus Christ.
Thank God.
One day, Jesus Christ, he came into the world and he came into the world. The Bible says, for this cause came I into the world. Many folks that act like Jesus Christ was scared to go to the cross. Whenever he was alive on the earth, he said, for this cause came I into the world.
That's right.
He knew he was going to the cross before the foundation of the world. The Bible says, who verily was foreordained. It was known beforehand. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, before this world was ever even put together. Jesus Christ knew he was going to go to the cross. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Jesus went to the cross. And he died on the cross. A lot of times we like to look at the beating of Jesus Christ. And there's a whole lot more to that. But the beating's bad. What they did to him was bad. And this is what the Bible says. In Isaiah 53 verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him.
Right.
He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He'll see the travail of his soul. The agony of the soul of Jesus Christ. He'll be satisfied in that. That's what's going to satisfy God. Satisfy. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. That's how he's going to do it. That's how he's going to do it. There's a whole lot more than him being beat up on the cross. There's a God that does not sin.
That's the God I'm talking about. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the Bible. There's a God that does not sin. There's a God that knows no sin. And He became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. He was Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. It's talking about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
God became flesh, and the Bible says that in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was God. And He was man. And He became flesh. And He bore our sins. That's what the Bible says. And He shall bear their iniquities. What He has to do is He has to take on that adultery.
True.
What He has to do. When He was on the cross, He wasn't just Jesus. He was an adulterer on the cross.
That's right.
A God that knew no sin, He was an adulterer. God that was on the cross, He was a liar. God that was on the cross was a thief. God that was on the cross was deceitful. God that was on the cross was proud. God that was on the cross was a sodomite and everything else that you could think of.
That's right.
He was on the cross and He was everything that we despised. He was on the cross and He was everything that we would turn our nose up against. That's what He was. He was made a prostitute. He was made vile. You know what they did to Him? They took His garments and they took them off of His body. We like to look at the cross. Oh, that's a beautiful picture. It's something that's just beautiful. And usually when they see a picture, they have a light shining in the back of it. It's in a beautiful grassy field and everything else. But Jesus Christ, He had His clothes ripped off of Him. It was an R-rated scene. It wasn't something that you want your kids to look at. It wasn't something that you want your children to see. He was totally exposed. The Bible says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. They took and they ripped His clothes into different pieces. They parted His raiment and cast lots. One soldier took one piece, another person took another piece, another person took another piece, another person took another piece of His garment. They parted His raiment and they cast lots. And there He was, naked on the cross. Why? He was a sinner. He was made sin.
That's right.
Bible says, who was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What God did, God poured out His wrath on Jesus Christ. The Bible says His soul was made an offering for sin. He went down into the lower parts of the earth. And the Bible says parts of the earth. He didn't just go into one part. He went to the lower parts of the earth. And that blows away a lot of some of these people that don't believe Jesus went to hell. Because He went into the lower parts of the earth.
Right.
He went into more than one place. Yes, He went to paradise. He got the keys of death. And where did He get the keys of? He got the keys of hell. How did He get the keys of hell unless He went there and got them Himself? Got the keys of death and of hell. And the Bible said that He rose again on the third day. What had to happen is that Jesus Christ had to be punished for you. He had to become sin. He had to be put on the cross. He had to die the death because of you. The cross was something that was a curse. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree.
Right.
Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, who in Himself bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. That's what the Bible says. The Bible talks about the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing we have the glory in. We don't have the glory in our works. We don't have the glory in our actions. We don't have the glory in our ability. The Bible says, wherefore shall we glory? He said, I have nothing to glory in save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Apostle Paul said. He could glory in the cross. Why? Because Jesus bore our sins. He became sin. He took our punishment. Then what did He do? He gave us His righteousness. That's what He did.
Sure.
That's what it is to be justified. Whenever God looks at you, He sees you as if you were Jesus Christ. He sees you with God's righteousness. He gave you His righteousness. He took your righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. Your righteousness fails. Your righteousness can go but so far. But Jesus stepped in and He said, let me give you My righteousness. So when God sees you, He sees you just. He sees you as if you were Jesus Christ. And your righteousness and your justification. That's what He does. That's what He does. How does God make man just? He takes his sin. He takes your sin. He takes it on Himself. He took it on Himself.
What does he do? He turns around and gives you his righteousness. He gives you his righteousness. Whenever Jesus was standing before Pilate, Pilate said, I find no fault with this just man. Why? Because he had no fault. When God sees you now, he said, I find no fault with this man.
Right.
The Bible says that we're complete in him. That's what the Bible says. We're complete in him. That's what happened. When you got saved, you got complete in him. And he gave us his righteousness. He gave us a whole lot more than that. The Bible says that we're heirs with Jesus Christ. He said we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Everything that Jesus gets, we're going to get with him.
That's right.
Everything that Jesus gets, we're going to get with him. And I'm telling you, if you're saved, you're born again. He's given us a whole lot. He's given us his righteousness. He's given us faith. How did God make man just? You know how you're going to be made just? By faith.
Right.
By faith. That's how you're going to be justified. Yeah. By faith.
That's the gift.
Coming to repentance.
Right.
Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, repent and believe, and thou shalt be saved.
Yeah.
The Bible says, I know people like to exclude repentance. I always like to add repentance every time I preach faith, because everybody likes to exclude repentance every time they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but I say unto you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Bible says, there was a time of ignorance that God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The Bible says that God's not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what he did. He came to call the sinners to repent. People say, well, sinners don't need to repent. Jesus said they needed to repent. What is repentance? It's a change of mind. Seeing yourself as God sees you. Seeing yourself, how does God see you? Seeing yourself like God sees you. That's what happens. What happens? The law of God's preached. You believe the law of God. The law of God shows you that you're a sinner. And you begin to see yourself as God sees you. It's what the law of God helps you do. I know we've gone and we've preached against the law of God and said the law of God's not important and thrown the law of God out and said we just live in grace. But in this grace dispensation, if you're not born again, you are under the law.
Right.
You are judged by the law.
Right.
You're condemned by the law of God.
Exactly right.
You are in this grace dispensation.
Yes, sir.
The law of God shows you that you're sin. The law of God is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law of God is pure, converting the soul. The law of God, it is good, it is just. That's what the Bible says. It's just. And it shows you that you're a sinner.
Thank God.
And, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And believe the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you're going to be justified. And you can try having your faith, that's the works of man. But God will step in and give you his faith. That's what he does. He'll step in and give you his faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. The faith that when he was in hell, he said, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That faith. God will give you that faith.
Amen.
That you can believe in him 100%.
Yes, sir.
And I know a lot of these preachers preach that you could just go on living in doubt all your life and, you know, thinking that you're saved. And I know probably the average independent Baptist doubts from time to time whenever they hear a good gospel preacher preach. They hear the gospel message preached and they'll begin to doubt their salvation. You know why? Because they need to get saved. That's why. They need to get born again. They need to get saved by the grace of God. What happens when you get saved? God moves on the inside. His spirit lives on the inside, and his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. The Bible we talked about it on Wednesday night. If you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. He said all that stuff on Wednesday about the spirit and the witnesses and all that, the spirit and the water and the blood and the Father, the Word and the Holy Ghost. There are witnesses on earth and there are witnesses in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, the point of it is this, that you have the witness living on the inside, and the witness tells you that you're saved, You have God the Father that tells you that you're saved. You have the Word of God, it tells you that you're saved. You have the Holy Ghost, it tells you that you're saved. You have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living on the inside crying, Abba Father, it tells you that you're saved. You have the water and the blood, and they all testify of Jesus Christ. And they all testify that what you have is Jesus Christ. He lives on the inside. If you receive the witness of me and man pats on the back and tells you that you're saved, that might be a good thing, or whatever else at different times. Man, recognizes that you're saved or whatever else. I'm not saying that it's good to tell somebody that they're saved. It might be good that somebody might recognize that you're saved. But if you receive the witness of God, it's a lot better.
Hey.
It's a lot better.
Amen.
And if you're saved, you have the witness of God.
Yeah.
He lives on the inside. And people think that you can just go on living in doubt all those years. People say, well, the devil makes me doubt. It's amazing that the devil's so powerful, so mighty, so strong, that he can make you doubt. But God's so weak, so puny, so frail, so nothing. And his word is so lousy that it has so little power that it can't give you assurance. I don't believe that. That's not the God I want. You can die and go to hell with that God, but I don't want to.
I want
something that whenever I go to my deathbed, that I know that I've been born again. That I know it. And these things have been written unto you that you may know that you've passed from death unto life. You can know that you've been saved. You can know that you've been born again. You can have assurance. I wouldn't want something that I couldn't know about. But God gives you something that you can know about. Why? Because it isn't just some old spirit that moves on the inside of you. It's God that moves on the inside of you when you get saved. It changes your life. I'm talking about the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith. What about the faith of Abraham? The faith of Abraham. The Bible said that he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness sake. That's how he was justified in the sight of God. Because he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness sake. The Bible says that what kind of faith did he have? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And he considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was about 100 years old, and she had not yet had a child. He didn't consider that. He didn't care that she didn't have a child yet. That didn't make him doubt. He still believed God. Why? Because he had the faith of Jesus Christ. He had that real faith. Then we see the blood of Jesus Christ makes man just. The blood.
Amen.
Therefore, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's what the Bible says. We're justified. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ. We're justified from wrath. You think of the great tribulation. You think of hell. You think of the lake of fire and brimstone. You think of all those things that people are going to have to endure. You think of the judgment and the wrath of God Almighty. And the great white throne judgment where Jesus Christ is going to stand with his hair as white as wool. His voice as many sounds of thunder. His eyes are as a flame of fire. And he's going to bring condemnation upon those that did not want Jesus Christ. That did not want him. Those that denied him. Those that hated him. Those that despised him. Those that rejected him. Those that would rather have their sin than God. Those that would not believe God. Those that rejected it all. He should have cast them in the lake of fire and brimstone. Those that would rather try to justify themselves, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. He said, therefore, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. We're justified by his blood. The blood saves us from wrath, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I like the song Rock of Ages. Be of sin, a double cure.
That's a good song.
What does it do? The blood, it saves from wrath, and it makes us pure.
That's
what it does. It's what the blood of Jesus Christ says. It saves us from wrath and it makes us pure. That's what the blood does. It's the double cure. It saves from wrath and makes us pure. I like it.
I like it,
friend. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. It'll wash. He said, such were some of you, but you're washed. How are you washed? You're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, not by blood of bulls and goats, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's how you're washed. That's how you're sanctified and justified, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed on Calvary. It wasn't just any old blood. It wasn't like our blood. He wasn't born from a man. He got his blood from God. God is blood from God. And oftentimes I've wondered where children get their evil from. Well, he was born of a woman, but he didn't have the blood from the man. He didn't. Where's our children get their evil from? Might be where they get it from the daddies.
That's right.
That's where you get your evil from. Get it from your daddy. Get it from his blood. Jesus had God's blood. It wasn't just any old blood. It was pure blood.
Yeah.
He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And when he shed his blood, that same blood purifies us. And when God looks at us through the blood, we're justified. There's no more wrath. There's no more condemnation. There's no more judgment. There's no more hell on us. There's no more condemnation. The Bible says that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. When God sees a lost man, he's already condemned. He's already going to hell. But when he sees you through the blood, there's no more condemnation. There is no great tribulation to face. No great tribulation to face. There is no hell to face. There is no lake of fire to face. But if you're lost today, that's what you have to face. How can man be just? Why? Because God takes his sin. God takes it. Jesus Christ took his sin. The blood of Jesus Christ makes the man clean. And by faith, believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ, coming to a place of repentance and believing in Jesus Christ, you can be made justified. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, we thank you for the word. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. God, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd open the eyes of those that are lost. I pray that you'd help us to rejoice in the fact that we've been made just with God, those that are saved. God, help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, let's all stand. We'll go in just a second. Let me ask you a question that you already know. Thank you, preacher. I appreciate that good word. Let's quote this scripture, okay? Ephesians 2:8. Just repeat it with me. For by grace are you saved, and through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. What does faith do? Faith is what we're saved by. Faith is knowing. What is the opposite of faith? Doubt. Doubt would be in the opposite category of faith. So if God has given you that faith of Jesus Christ, listen to me real good. There will be no doubt about your salvation. That's what the faith of Jesus Christ is. It is knowing that you're saved. That's what the faith of Jesus Christ comes down to. Knowing that you're saved. Guess who else knows it? It's recorded in heaven. Your name is in the Lamb's book. That's the record that you have in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And then you have that witness on earth. Listen, church, if you had to deal with doubt, there is a reason why Bible preaching causes you to doubt. And that Bible reason is because the faith of Jesus Christ. You may have faith. Everybody in this congregation, I would venture to say, believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross. But without the faith of Jesus Christ being imparted to you, I promise you, there's going to be doubts. When that faith of Jesus Christ comes into you, it removes all doubt. Is that right? Then listen to what he said. Being justified by what? By doubt. No. Being justified by faith, we have this thing called peace. Peace removes doubt. I mean, you don't have doubt and peace at the same time. Doubt is the enemy of peace. We've been justified by faith, so that removes the turmoil, that removes confusion, that removes the doubt. Peace, it's peace that you know, that you know, that you know, that you've passed from death unto life. That's what the faith of Jesus Christ would do. That's good. Listen, I said something about it Wednesday night and I said it again today. If there is doubt in your life, Do not disdain, do not shun that. Look at that doubt in the face, in the eyes, and say, thank you, God. What is it, Lord? What must I do? What do I need? That doubt is a security thing. It's something that God is sending your way to be a help to you. It's not there to hurt you. It's not there. People blame it on the devil. Why would the devil make you doubt, ladies and gentlemen, so that you can go get everything settled? No, devil don't do that. That's God. God's the one that wants you to get it settled. God's the one that wants you to get that assurance. The devil ain't putting that on you. You can live in sin and you can be underneath false doctrine and it will cause confusion and doubt and turmoil and everything else. But I'll promise you, when that Bible is rightly divided and there's doubt, it's God. God's trying to help you. So embrace that. Embrace that. Face that and talk to God about it. Amen. There's something missing and it's the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Michael, if you will, say the blessing over the food or ask the blessing, please.
Lord, thank you today, Lord. Thank you for the messages we heard this morning. I ask you to bless the people about to eat and bless the service this afternoon.
Thank you, sir. Old Joe Davis will be pulling up here pretty soon.